Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. The last time we were together, we looked at that very well-known verse, John 14:6, where Jesus, in response to Thomas's question, "Lord, we know not where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Let us just continue on reading now. Verse 7, "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him." Well, Philip says unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it will satisfy us." Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet have thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." Verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." We're going to stop there tonight, because tonight I'd like to just focus on these few verses of the recording the Lord Jesus' statements. And I'd like us to pay special attention tonight to his words and his works. I believe the Lord Jesus emphasizes this in the context where we read in verses 10 and 11 about his words. "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." If I were to choose a theme verse or a central verse of this passage, it would be verse 11. Because what you have here is Jesus' words, "Believe me. Believe what I'm saying. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the very work's sake." And so what we see presented here is Jesus Christ is presenting two reasons or evidences for the belief, for the disciples to believe. It's either you hear what I say and you embrace it and believe it and you trust it to be true, or you see what I do. You see what I do, and it causes you to believe. Now, don't we see that in our lives today? Yeah, we will have different scenarios, and someone will make a claim. They will say something. They will say that the car runs, and the car runs well. And we have a choice, don't we? These are his words. They are the words. We have a choice. Do we believe the words, or are we going to believe the works? And of course, in this context, both are of equal importance. In fact, it's interesting when you look further into this book, when you come to after Jesus' resurrection, you come in the Jesus appears to his disciples in that room. Remember, they were locked into that room, and it's interesting what you hear Jesus saying to Thomas. In verse 29 of John 20, Jesus says unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are those that have not seen. In other words, they have believed based not on his works, but on his words. Blessed are they. As we consider this text tonight, I believe it is of utmost importance that we consider these two evidences as we are witnesses of Jesus Christ in our world today. It is important that we, as we witness for Jesus Christ, as we declare him to the world, that what we declare are his words and his works. That we declare what Jesus has said. What has he said about himself? What has he said about eternal life? And we also declare his works. What is it that he has done? These are important and emphasized, I believe, by Jesus Christ here. Now, let's remember something. The disciples, they have faith, they have belief, but it's teeter-tottering. There's some doubt going on. There's questions. Indeed, they've walked with Jesus for his earthly ministry, and now they're approaching the end, and they know that there's going to be a betrayal and a denial. And Jesus has said that he's going to die on a cross. He's also said that he's going to rise again on the third day. But the disciples are still struggling. He's leaving them. He's going somewhere where they cannot immediately go. And so they are wondering and questioning in their minds. This is not exactly how we understood it to be. Looking back at our text, as Jesus is answering Thomas's question in verse 7, I want us to make note here of Jesus' words. In verse 7, as he immediately follows his very clear declaration, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again, that is words. He says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. This is the ginosko verb. This is a verb that we need to understand and need to know. It is a verb that means to have experiential, intimate knowledge of. And so what Jesus is saying here is, if you have intimately known me, then you would have known intimately my Father also. Now listen, church, do we understand what Jesus is saying here? If you have intimately and experientially known me, you've known my Father. Do we understand the ramifications of that statement? I and my Father are one. And it is interesting, as you look through this gospel, how often you see the Lord Jesus, in his words, making declarations such as these. Let's go on a brief journey, if you will. Go back to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, we're going to be, let's go through the book of John. I just want to highlight Jesus' words. And indeed, this is something that you could do with an individual who has questions about Jesus. Because what does Jesus do? He emphasizes his words and his works. Let's look at his words. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Notice the emphasis here that when we see him, we are seeing the glory of the Father. Look at verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Jesus is exposing or bringing to light the Father. You go to John chapter 3 in verse 32. And what he hath seen and heard and he testified, no man receives his testimony. He that received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John chapter 5, verse 17. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. And it is interesting, as you go through and you watch Jesus' words, how often he will make statements like these, directly linking himself to his Father. And this is a concept that, remember, as he's ministering in the context of Jewish people, where when he says the Father, they're thinking of the Father in heaven, the one true Jehovah God, Yahweh. And now we have this man coming along and saying that the Father, the God of heaven, is doing the work, and I'm doing it too. In verse 18, the Jews sought more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. That just is helping us understand, in the Jewish mindset, this is what Jesus was saying, I'm equal with God. And remember, in their mind, there's only one true God. So if he says, I'm equal with God, it must be that he is God. Verse 23 of chapter 5, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Don't miss the ramifications of that statement. Do you see what he's saying? That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Jesus is claiming the same honor that is due the Father. What else can that mean but Jesus declaring himself to be God? He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. John chapter 6 and verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John chapter 8, verse 16. Yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. Again, a direct link between Jesus and his Father. In verse 17, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. And then said they unto him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Isn't that interesting? If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. I want you to think about just briefly here. We can't say that today in our own circles. Sometimes we might think that our son might look a lot like their father. It might act like a lot like their father. It might speak a lot like their father. Indeed, when you put me in the context of my home with my father, in the valley in which I grew up, I will begin to sound very much like my dad. But you cannot say that if you have known me, you've known my father. That cannot be true. It's not true at all in the context of the human race, except for one person, and that is Jesus Christ. He's the one that made that claim. If you've known me, you've known my Father. And Jesus says that. And the Jewish people, we have to reckon with what does that mean? If Jesus says, you've known me, you've known the Father, and the Father is the God of heaven, well, then if I've known Jesus, I've known the God of heaven. He's here. It is Jesus. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Notice the claims that Jesus is making. No man shall ever pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. No man can pluck them out of my hand, Jesus says, but my Father, who is greater than all, no one can pluck them out of his hand. So what does that mean? Does that mean that that the people are in two different hands? No. He very clearly says, I and my Father are one. Are one. I trust this is just reaffirming for us the deity of Christ. These are his words. Following along there, look at verse 33. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Very clearly the understanding was, his claim was that he was God. John chapter 15. Now we're going forward here from our text. This is future now of our text in John 14. Now we're in John 15. Jesus is going to get to this point, but I want you to notice these points. John 15, 24. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Again, a link between he and the Father. John 16, verse 3, and these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Known the Father nor me. John 17, in verse 3, this is in the context of Jesus' high priestly prayer. He says, and this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus saying these words. Chapter 17, verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. The claim there is oneness between the Father and the Son, and that that oneness be copied or exhibited in people. Again, we see Jesus' words, I am God. A couple other New Testament passages, I'll just read them for you, but I want you to hear them. In 2 Corinthians, this is Paul writing, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then Colossians, of course, a very popular passage that relates Jesus as God. Colossians 1, verses 15 through 17. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And anyone that reads this has to compare and reckon these statements with Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Back in John chapter 14 now, Philip now is asking another question in verse 8. And you know, before we are too hard on these disciples, I mean, let's realize we're not in the situation that they find themselves. They have left all to follow him. They've left their occupations. They have traveled all of Palestine with him, and now he's leaving them. And they're just having a hard time understanding this. And so Philip again asks an obvious question. Lord, show us the Father, and then we'll be satisfied. I mean, in their logical minds, as they're considering this, just show us the Father, Jesus, and then we'll be satisfied. Show us. And what is fascinating is God and his divine plan, that was not part of it, that we see into heaven, but rather heaven came to us in Jesus. And that's the point, that God did reveal himself, but he revealed himself through Christ. And that's what Jesus is seeking to convince these men of. And then verse 9, Jesus says unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? I appreciate his grace and his compassion. Certainly this would be a means for great frustration. Because didn't I just answer this question? Oh, Philip, you've been with me all this time and you still don't know. You still don't understand. He that hath seen me, middle of verse 9, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? You don't get it. Why aren't you seeing this? I have spoken my words. I have said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. You're not understanding. Believest thou, verse 10, not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Are you not believing my words? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. He doeth the works. And so what Jesus Christ is doing is, in his own gentle way, as a master teacher, as a rabbi, as a leader, with his disciples, the learners around him, as he is understanding the difficulties, they just are having, it is finding it too hard to believe what he is saying. So what has he done? He says, now look at my works. These are of the Father. Let your eyes gaze on them. And so, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else, so my words, believe what I have said, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Well, what is he talking about here as we think about his works? Well, we could think of his miracles. The blind see. The dead have come back to life. Indeed, what did Jesus say to Jesus said to John the Baptist? Remember, John the Baptist sent some disciples of himself, of his own, and he asked a question about Jesus and who is he? In Matthew chapter 11, I want you to recognize and see what Jesus said to John. He sent a message back to John in Matthew chapter 11. John asked the question, verse 3, are you he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus' response is this: go and show John again these things which you do hear and see. Hear his words. See his works. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And hear what Jesus is saying to John, who is in his own heart wondering and doubting even Jesus here. Is he saying, John, look at my works. Look at what's happening. Look at what God is doing in and through me. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now, indeed, the ultimate work, quote unquote, if you will, is the work of the cross. And that is imminent. That is coming quickly here. And indeed, as Jesus Christ goes and he suffers upon the cross, this is evident. This is something that is not words. This is a work of God. And as Jesus Christ willingly goes to the cross, and even on the cross, it is interesting, what do we hear from Jesus' words? And we hear words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We hear words such as, "Today you will be with me in paradise." We hear words such as, "It is finished." Words that are putting a stamp upon the work of the cross. And he dies. He's buried. And then 3 days later, he rises again. A most incredible work. And then he appears to these men and many others, proving and showing himself alive, that his word was true, that you can trust his word. And so, church, Jesus gives us the evidence, the reasons. "I have spoken words, believe them. I have done works, believe in me, that what I have done, I have shown that I am God in human flesh." Why is that significant? That is significant. That is important to the gospel. Because Jesus Christ, as God, fulfilled God's wrath, because God demanded a perfect sacrifice, and there was no one perfect but God. And so it is Jesus Christ, who is God, who fulfilled God's desire for the redemptive plan, that is a perfect sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so Jesus' ultimate work becomes the crowning point of God's redemptive plan. And thus I trust of you, of your life and my life. Praise be to God for his words. They are so precious to us, aren't they? Those promises, they're real. His claims, "I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door. I am the great shepherd." And you could go on and on. But you think of his works and all that he has done. And dear ones, don't miss the most incredible work that he's done personally in your life. For he has saved you, he saved me. That's a work. That's a work of Christ. That's a testimony that you can speak of as you go and you share the glorious gospel with this world. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this time, and I thank you for this precious word. And I just thank you for reaffirming again in our hearts tonight the value, the evidence of your words, of your works. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming, for obeying the Father. Oh, God, what a wonderful story this is. It is true. It is our redemption. Thank you for Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'd equip your people for the week to come. Be a strength to them and encourage them in their walk and in their witness. In Jesus' name, amen.